One of the things that I have found out that I can say with somewhat certitude is the idea of 2012 as a date when something could happen and disclosure are linked. And I have put out some significant material, and there's more coming, that document this connection between the end of the Mayan calendar date on December 21, 2012, and the idea of extraterrestrial revelation or extraterrestrial insight or extraterrestrial
presence.
But again, you have to define who your ETs are. So when we were asked by Dr. Susan Shumsky to participate in this cruise, I didn't take a lot of time for me to say yes, because actually, George, we're on a spaceship right now. I mean, Bucky Fuller coined the classic cliche, a spaceship Earth, right?
That's right.
And he talked about the air conditioning and the energy supplies and the passenger complement and what's going on the bridge and the fact that nobody seems to be in control, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I'm somewhat of a fan of Marshall McLuhan. And as you know, Marshall McLuhan had a very famous phrase which basically states that the medium is the message.
That's right.
That if you're going to do something to communicate a reality to a lot of folks, you might look for a mechanism which is in line with or a vehicle or a venue or a location that's kind of in alignment with the message you're trying to impart. So I've been doing a lot of work over the last several years into, is 2012 a serious issue? As you know, I was one of the producers of the sci-fi NBC show about a year ago, which has run now countless times on sci-fi, The Mysteries of 2012 or The Secrets or something like that, two-hour special.
With your world-famous bola tie.
Yes. I definitely wore the bola just for you, George. Come on.
I know you did.
And Robin and I went to South America on NBC's Nickel, and we went to Central America, Mexico. We measured pyramids, and I know that there is a resonance between these solid-state monuments, built in many cases out of limestone, and the background torsion field, which is the underlying mechanism of the physics that could cause us problems in 2012 if there was to be a problem.
Were you in awe when you saw those structures?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, you cannot walk, and even if they've been put back together in a kind of a touristy fashion like the ones in Mexico, because back at the turn of the century when the Mexicans were in charge of their own destiny for a while between, you know, the incursions of France, et cetera, they had some people involved in archaeology who, frankly, should never have been allowed near a pick or a shovel or a brush. And so they're not exactly reconstructed the way you would think they originally looked. 2012 Startling New Secrets. That was the name of the special. Thank you, Robin. You know, she's very, very good at this. Reminds me of things I forget all the time.
She's the detail person.
Anyway, the point is that it doesn't matter what they look like now in terms of the exterior. What matters is how they were built on the interior, what they're made out of. And the reconstructors in Mexico, you know, in the last 100 years, didn't really damage that part. So when I'm up there at dawn and I see these extraordinary energy spikes on the Accutron because something is connecting the Accutron resonance with the pyramid resonance, with the background terrestrial torsion field resonance, and it happens just as the sun peaks over the horizon. I mean, it gives you a whole new appreciation as to why sun worship and dawn have become an important part of many, many, many cultures all over the planet going back thousands upon thousands of years. Something energetically happens at dawn, at the moment the sun is poised on the Earth's horizon, because you got to understand the big picture. You're on a planet.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like one of those Tom Lehrer songs. You're on a planet spinning, you know, at 1,000 miles an hour, going around the sun at 18.5 miles per second, moving through the galaxy at some god-awful speed in the direction of the constellation of Hercules. Well, all of these motions, every once in a while, result in an alignment between celestial objects. And so what I was measuring that morning was the alignment between the Earth's horizon and the sun, and I happen to be choosing as my location the top of the most famous pyramid in the Western Hemisphere, the Sun Pyramid at Teotihuacan, and bingo, right on time, a wonderful energy burst occurred that we recorded on the graphs on the computer, and bingo, there was the response of the pyramid to the sun rising over the curvature of the world. Once you get that kind of real physics feedback, you then have to take the people who built that pyramid, who were derivatives and relatives of the Mayans through a very long, complicated history of Central America we don't have time to even get into tonight, but that's what we will be getting into on the ship. And the whole point was, for me participating in the cruise, is it possible that this metaphor between an ocean-going liner in the middle of the night under the southern skies and the Earth itself cruising around the sun with the sun around the Milky Way, that these are more than just interesting and symbolic and romantic metaphors, but in fact there is a real extrapolation of our presence on spaceship Earth and the kinds of things that can happen to that spaceship if it encounters unknown forces or physics that are not part of the mainstream discussion. And so that's what I and Jim and a bunch of other people are going to spend, you know, a week, Robin included, even though she's not really a fan of ocean liners, I found out.
Well, not for a week, but...
Well, maybe you and she share something in common, because I've heard that you don't want to get trapped for a week either.
Not with you.
That's a good way to begin the new year, George.
With my buddy Richard. Look, also that pyramid. Didn't they have human sacrifices there?
Yes.
That had to have been an eerie feeling.
Well, you know what was really weird is that I get there and I'm looking at instrumentation and I'm looking at computer markings and I'm looking at graphs and all that, and I'm not feeling a thing. Robin, on the other hand, who is sensitive, has all kinds of interesting flashes of very intriguing stuff that went on. And because she had not immersed herself in the history of Teotihuacan before we got there, I was fascinated how her flashes were resonating with some of the very strange history of the place, particularly in terms of things that have been found archaeologically around the site. We do not have a written history, so we don't know actually what occurred, but one can logically extrapolate from other Mayan cultural centers where there has been absolute history of very despicable, you know, sacrifice and all that, that she was, shall we say, tapping into something?